we crashed into each other. And so it was like a glancing blow, but it still ended up with me like face down in the middle of the bike lane.
So yeah. It's going to be hard to remember this, but if you are in a wreck, you need to try to recall Ellen and Marley telling you what to do.
Welcome to All Bodies on Bikes, the podcast, where all bodies are good bodies, all bikes are good bikes, and all rides are celebrated.
All Bodies on Bikes is a movement to create and foster a radically inclusive bike community. So join your hosts. I'm Ellen.
And I'm Marley.
As we explore the complexities of the biking world, help us break down barriers and create the world that we want to see.
And don't forget that all bodies really means all bodies, not just larger bodies, but bodies of all sizes,
ages,
races,
abilities,
genders,
sexualities,
and beyond. Come along for the ride.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
You know, all things considered, I am okay. A week. Holy cow.
It's been a doozy. You've had a doozy of a week.
Have I?
I thought you had.
Oh, I mean, I have a foster dog. I don't know.
I guess we're going to talk about your crash.
Yes. I did get hit by a car.
Just normal things for Marley Blonsky is to have a week that's crazy enough that that doesn't register at the top of your list.
Well, to be fair, it was like 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago at this point.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That went so fast.
I'm glad I'm okay too. Yes, all things considered, I am good. Before we get into that, so folks who are wondering, that is what we're talking about today. I got hit by a car and I did literally every single thing wrong that you are not supposed to do. So we're going to talk about what I did and what you're supposed to do. But before we get into that, can I show you maybe my favorite new thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Official party pooper honey bucket.
So
love your obsession with porta potties.
Thank you. For folks who are not in the Northwest, Honey Bucket is a very well-known brand of porta potties, and they do a selfie contest every summer where you just like post a picture of yourself with a porta potty. You don't have to be in the porta potty. And that's kind of weird. Could you imagine?
Oh my God.
So anyway, I entered their selfie contest last summer and I won and I finally got my prize. So I got this really cute shirt that says official party pooper. If you're watching us on Spotify or YouTube, you can see it. Yay. Shout out to that. And I also got a bomber jacket, but it's a little too small.
That's a bummer.
It is a bummer.
Poops in the party. That's what that does. But that's not what we're here to talk about today. We're here to talk about, unfortunately, you were in a crash.
Oh, I got hit by a car. I got hit by a driver of a car.
This is a great way for me to prompt you to say, take us to the top. What happened?
So I was on a mission to get stamps to mail out my holiday cards. I got yours. Thank you. So cute.
Thank you. I got yours. It's so cute. You're on my mantle.
So yeah, I was on a mission to get postage stamps. I went to 3 different stores. This was just prior to Christmas. So a couple weeks ago now. And I was already like, I was just in a bad mood that day. I don't really know why. I might have been my luteal phase, but also the fact that like I went to a grocery store, they didn't have stamps. I went to like literally this place called Postal Annex that is like a mailing center. They didn't have stamps. I should have just gone to the dang post office, but I was like, no, it'll be fine.
Okay, but who on Postal Annex, would they normally have stamps and they ran out?
Yeah. I don't think it was their fault. I am blaming our government because Fred Meyer, which is like a major grocery store, was also out of stamps and the automated machine was out of stamps. And so I think it was just like our government doesn't work anymore.
Cool.
Yeah. So anyway.
Mad about many things.
Mad about many. And I am typically not a very angry person. Like to have a unpleasant disposition is like a big deal for me. So anyway, I'm riding along to my third destination to try and find stamps, and I'm in a protected bike lane. And so the bike lane is on the right side of the street and it has unprotected right turns, so people can turn in front of the bike lane. And there's lots of signage, but there was a red Honda Fit that was slowing down and I could tell that he was getting ready to turn. And I ride really cautiously. You know, I've been riding in cities for 10 plus years and you get a good idea of like what's a safe speed, what's not. And so I see this guy slowing and I'm like, oh, he's not going to see me. I'm going to slow down and let him just turn in front of me. Uh-huh. But then this guy like checks over his right shoulder like you do. I was like, oh, and I thought we made eye contact. And so he continued to slow down. I was like, okay, that's my cue to go. So I kept going and he also kept going. And yeah, so he right hooked me. Thankfully, I was on my cargo bike. So I was on my Bullet and he really like I was able to kind of dump the bike right as we crashed into each other. And so it was like a glancing blow, but it still ended up with me like face down in the middle of the bike lane. And I don't know if you've ever fallen off your bike really suddenly, but like for me, it's just like shock and embarrassment. And I was laying there and I was like, kind of did like a head to toe, like check-in of like, okay, I think I can feel everything. I don't think anything's broken. Okay. My head hurts. My collarbone hurts. Everything kind of hurts. And as I'm laying there face down in the bike lane, kind of doing this assessment, I hear somebody like that was at a bus stop nearby yell, "Oh fuck," and come running over.
Oh no.
I know. And I was like, yeah, I feel that. And so I ended up just like, you know, getting up and kind of brushed myself off, did another self-assessment. And thankfully the driver had stopped. The driver completed his turn and he stopped and he was like, "Hey, I just didn't see you." And I was like, "How did you not see me?" And then I think I was in like a state of shock. I was clearly in a state of shock because I was just like, "I'm fine. Go. I don't want to talk to you." And that was like the start of the wrong things to do.
Yes.
Unfortunately. Yeah. And so I figure we're a biking podcast. Let's talk about what you should do if you unfortunately find yourself in the same situation getting hit by a car.
Yes. I would love this because I do think that this is I think I've had plenty of near misses. I think anybody who rides has had a lot of near misses where we're very thankful that nothing happened. And I'm sure I would panic without some proper like reminders in my brain if this were to ever truly happen to me.
Yeah. So, I still am genuinely surprised that I reacted the way I did because I've been in these situations before as a witness to other crashes. And I'm like very calm and level-headed of like, get their information, go to the doctors, blah, blah, blah. And when it happened to me, I was like, I'm so embarrassed. I'm just going to go home and cry.
Yeah. Which is a very normal reaction. I will validate that for you.
Thank you.
It's a bummer that what we need to learn how to do is have that reaction and say, "Hey driver, no wait, give me 2 minutes to have a little panic attack and then we're gonna I need your details, I need this," which is what we're gonna dig into now.
Exactly. One thing, so as I was like researching this episode, I started looking into both Portland where I live and Kansas City where you live about just kind of traffic statistics and fatalities. And it's really interesting. So both cities have a Vision Zero goal program, etc. Mm-hmm. For folks who might not be familiar, can you tell us about Vision Zero, Ellen?
I can. So Vision Zero is a national, I think actually it's global movement to say that the goal for any government should be zero traffic deaths. So building that should then guide a lot of decisions that work outside of bike lanes and crosswalks. And it should actually guide lots and lots and lots of other decisions too. So somewhat famously in the bike advocacy world in the like 2024 to 25, there was a 12-month period where Helsinki truly had zero fatalities, zero traffic deaths. And a lot of what it boiled down to is infrastructure changes. So they've got tons and tons of different infrastructure that slows traffic down and gives people a good idea of where you should be and how you should yield. But then it has a lot to do with accountability and holding people responsible who don't follow these rules. So enforcement was actually cited as the bigger impact. So and I can't remember off the top of my head. They cited like the article I read from the BBC, I want to say, was like, here are the five things that actually made the difference for Helsinki. But the enforcement of it was, and just kind of like the public
awareness.
Awareness and enforcement. And again, that accountability piece is what actually impacted it. Because even here in Kansas City, we do have we've had a lot of great bike infrastructure go in that's safe, divided, supported, but even like, especially the way you described your accident is exactly where I could pinpoint having interactions with traffic. So like when you get to an intersection, people turning right on red, like doing all kinds of things where they just aren't used to bikes. And so, and they're not being told to get
used or they're on their phones.
Or they're on their phones all the time. Even when I'm with the other driver and I look at other drivers, the number of times people are looking down at their dashboards or their phones is scary. Get off your phone, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. And I have no idea if this person was on their phone or not. But one other thing about Vision Zero is like, it acknowledges that people make mistakes and it tries to build systems to where those mistakes are not fatal. So it's slowing traffic down quite a bit. It's creating that separated infrastructure. And honestly, I think so. The bike lane that I was in Portland is new within the last 6 months. And I do think because of, well, it's not perfect. Like I really think that there should be a light there and folks shouldn't be able to turn right in front of the bike lane. Because of the infrastructure, this guy was going really, really slow. And so I think it contributed to this not being such a serious crash.
Which is really important to note. Yes. There are ways to do this. And if you are a person who cycles there or walks or doesn't want to be in a car, like wants to use the infrastructure with your own 2 feet or your own wheels, then it's something you can start to push your local ordinances to do, your local governments to do.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Today's episode of the All Bodies on Bikes podcast is brought to you by BikeTiresDirect.com with a huge selection of inventory from tires to clothing, hydration, nutrition, basically anything you need for cycling. BikeTiresDirect.com is your go-to. Use the code ALLBODS, that's ALLBODS, all capital letters, for a 10% discount. And 6% of that comes back to All Bodies on Bikes. So you're getting a discount and the organization is getting supported. Thank you so much to Bike Tires Direct for your support. Hey, Ellen, quick pause on the thing we're actually talking about to talk about something that's really, really important. Did you know that All Bodies on Bikes podcast is actually part of the All Bodies on Bikes nonprofit?
Are you saying that everything we do is about making the cycling world more inclusive and more welcoming for everybody?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And one of the best ways to support that work is by becoming a member. We have individual memberships. We've got bike shop memberships. We've got industry memberships. We've got it all.
Any membership helps fund inclusive events, education, and advocacy, and it keeps this podcast going. Plus, members get some pretty great perks like exclusive swag, industry discounts, and more.
So if this community means something to you, which we really hope it does, we would love to have you join us as members.
You can learn more and you can join us at allbodiesonbikes.com. And now back to the episode. What were we even saying?
So we already covered that I did everything wrong. I got up. I let the driver go without getting any information. I went home. I made a reel because, you know, that's what I do.
You're chronically online.
Yeah, chronically online. I called my mom before I made the reel. I was like, Mom, you're about to see something on the internet. I need you to know that I'm okay.
As a mom, I very much appreciate that.
I'm trying to be better about that because oftentimes I'll make content and she'll be like, were you going to tell me about this? I'm like, oh yeah. Sorry, Mom. So anyway, I called my mom and she was like, you need to go to the hospital. And I was like, no, I can't afford to. This was like that weird. So I moved to Oregon in November and I should have switched my health insurance like immediately for under like special enrollment. I didn't. I was like, oh, I'll just wait until the new year when my Oregon health insurance kicks in. And so I was kind of in this like weird in between state where I had insurance, but it wouldn't do much. And I was like, I don't want to go sit in a urgent care or an ER for multiple hours for them to tell me you need to rest. Like, I could tell that I had no serious injuries, like potentially whiplash, but a contusion on my elbow and some bruising. But other than that, I was fine. Like, my head didn't actually hurt.
What's a contusion?
Oh, it's a fancy word for like a scrape.
Oh, okay. It's like, yeah. Very serious. If you have a contusion, you need a doctor.
I know. It makes it sound a lot cooler than it is. But no, it was literally, you probably still see. Yeah. No, it's actually healed. I healed. You can't even see it anymore. But I had like a big scrape on my elbow and it was pretty bruised. But I could tell that like, I'm going to go to the hospital. They're probably going to do imaging and it's all going to come back of like, you're perfectly fine.
I know.
No.
Why? So start from the top. What should you, if you had done it correctly, which we have, we will acknowledge and forever acknowledge, it is going to be so hard. Like, it's not something that happens every day, thank God. So yeah. It's going to be hard to remember this. But if you are in a wreck, you need to try to recall Ellen and Marley telling you what to do. So what should you do
at the scene of the accident? First thing is safety first. Move out of traffic if you can. So I was in the bike lane. I picked myself up, got out of the way, and kind of assess yourself for injuries. Assess yourself and any others. You know, as we talked about, adrenaline really did mask that. And I was like, I'm fine. But I wasn't. I think the second part is to get the driver's information. Because God forbid something would have come up later, with my neck or my elbow or my head or something, I would have had no recourse to hold this driver accountable. So you need to ask them for their driver's license, their phone number, and their insurance information. Make sure you get their name and their phone number. Make sure you take pictures at the scene or ask somebody else to take pictures. Hopefully, somebody's going to come over and check on you and make sure you're okay. Have them help you, say, hey, would you mind getting the driver's information for me? Take pictures of the intersections, take pictures of any signage, take pictures of the whole scene, because God forbid this turns into a bigger thing. You're going to need that information dealing with police, insurance, all of those things.
And you need the context on the day. So like if it had been raining, that matters. If there was some reason that the driver could or couldn't see you truly, like that will matter. I've had it I got out of a parking ticket one time because it was dark and stormy that night. And the way that the wind blew was like, there's a tree branch in the way of the no parking sign. And I was like, I didn't have a picture on the night because I didn't know I was going to get a ticket. But
yeah,
I went back and I took a picture. It's like, here's the tree. It's in the way.
Good job.
It matters.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And then the other thing is if there's witnesses, get their information too, because they can corroborate, they can provide additional information, and they can just help you kind of reset the scene if you need to later on.
Which is important. Memories are valuable.
Yeah, 100%. Especially when there's like shock and adrenaline and all that involved.
Yeah,
absolutely. So yeah, that's the first thing, check yourself out, make sure you're safe. Obviously, if you need medical assistance, call 911, get assistance out there as quickly as possible, and take care of your health and safety first, and then get the driver's information. Yes, get their information. We kind of already talked about this, but then you need to go get yourself checked out. Go to the hospital, go to urgent care. Even if you're feeling fine, I probably got 100 messages from folks being like, you need to go to the doctor. And I fully admit I should have gone to the doctor, because, there can be internal injuries, there can be bleeding, there can be concussions, there can like whiplash, it can all show up later. Mm-hmm. And you want that documented for insurance purposes later.
Yes. Documented. Yeah. That was what I was going to add. Like, again, even if you do feel fine, there's something that might pop up later. You need it to be tied to the day.
Yes, exactly. And it was kind of unfortunate, kind of funny. Like, I woke up the next day more sore than I've ever been in my entire life. And I was like, oh, maybe I should have gone to the doctor. And then by then I kind of had this guilt of like, well, it's too late now. Like, it's not going to matter.
Which, yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know either. I guess that's a good question. But my thought would be, if that's what it is, you still go right away. It's like that proverb of like, the best time to plant a tree was yesterday. The next best time is now. The best time for you to have gone would have been yesterday when it happened. The next best time is now.
Yeah.
So like, no matter what, and I'm really guilty of this too, where it's like, I don't know, it's going to resolve. It'll be okay. But no, like, and I actually really appreciate that you mentioned how much like surrounding, how much of your context influenced your decision to not go. Cause that is so scary. It's really easy to think it's going to blow up out of proportion. And it's true in the United States for sure. Luckily, if we have some international listeners, they have far less anxiety around this. I don't know. My husband's really superstitious about if we ever have a gap in insurance, we basically just like hunker down. But I hate that advice because I want you to be out living your best life and not being worried about this. But it's reality. So just do it. But at the same time, if it's going to turn into something big, you want to try to catch it when it's something little.
Exactly.
Just go, go, go,
yeah.
go.
Just go. Okay. Yeah. So, and then I guess kind of like the last part is to get the police involved if you need to. You know, don't love involving police for any reason, with everything going on in this country, but for insurance purposes, it can be necessary. You know, call, sometimes the cops won't come out, especially if there isn't a serious injury, but in a lot of places you can still file a police report online. This is especially helpful too if your bike is damaged, because then you're, you can get that covered. And that's another thing that you need to do is you need to get your bike inspected before you ride it again.
Did you do that?
I did.
Good job.
I did do, thank you.
Good job.
I did do one thing correct.
That's it's a really good reminder though. Did you write it home?
Yeah. I know. Which
is, again, I will.
Again, shock, adrenaline. I'm trying to be gentle with myself, but like also it was my cargo bike. Like what was I going to, I guess if my bike would have been totaled, I could have called like a tow truck company. And remarkably there ended up being zero impactful damages to my bike. Like I have that big cargo basket and it got really scraped up. One of the little metal grommets got ripped out. But other than that, no structural damage to the bicycle.
Can always definitely do an ABC check before you ride off.
Yeah. What's an ABC check, Ellen?
Air, brakes, chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sure that air and brakes is right. You gave me a funny look on chain.
No, you're exactly right. Okay. I always add in ABC quick check to like check all of your like quick release levers.
Oh.
But I don't really have any bikes that have quick release levers anymore.
I do. Yeah. A lot of people do, like my seat, or a couple of my wheels, a couple of
your
them.
Wheels.
Quick release. Yeah.
So I call it an ABC quick check.
I like that. ABC.
Yeah. And so my brain skipped over the chain part of things.
Oh, you went straight to the queue.
I went straight to the queue.
Man. All right.
Yeah.
But I hear what you're saying though about getting police involved. And again, like if, let's say best case, everybody's super amenable. The driver stops. They are like, they understand they're behaving well. That's not what I want to say. They're cooperating with you.
Cooperating, compassionate. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. And you can get all of this and then file the report later. But again,
exactly.
As much as you can do on the day, get everything done on the day.
Exactly. Yeah. As I've been thinking about this of like, you know, could I create a spoke card? Could I create a sticker? Because, you know, when you're in the moment, logic goes out the window. And so, you know, if folks don't remember anything from this podcast, you know, safety, info, care, report. You know, make sure you're safe, make sure everything's fine, call 911 if you need to, get the driver's information, get the witness's information, take care of yourself, get to the hospital, get to the doctor, get your bike checked out, etc., and then file a report if you need to. So it all sounds really simple.
It does.
And hopefully I never need to use this info again, but unfortunately that's not what the statistics say.
Yeah, a sticker would be good. Something
that
just kind of put like on your handlebars or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, well, superhuman. It's superhuman to not super space human to not know what to do in the moment and to be so overwhelmed. I think always good advice for a lot of things in your life is to, if you feel crazed about this, stop and take a breath. That will help you assess your body better too. Like to your point about the adrenaline just coursing through you is there to make you move on without pain, trying as much as you can to calm yourself down and have a think, count to five, whatever you need to do to get your brain out of the fight or flight response. Cause that's where your memory is going to get really fuzzy kind of no matter what, I would bet. Cause you're really worked up about it. As much as you can do to calm yourself down in the moment and take the space to calm yourself down. I think what stood out to me is that you were just like ready to get out of the situation.
I was embarrassed.
Yeah.
I felt like it was my fault. I felt like I had done something wrong, which I hadn't, you know, like I was riding my bike, but I was really honestly in hindsight surprised by my reaction. And you know what's really, really dumb is after I got hit, I got back on. And that's actually when I went to the Postal Annex, because I was on my way to, I had gone to two places before and I still went to Postal Annex and I'm like crying. I'm a mess. I'm just like, do you guys have stamps? And they were like, no. So I went home after that. I'm like still crying at this point because I don't know, adrenaline does funny things to my system. And then I went to this pizza place across the street because I was like, okay, now I'm hungry. And I'm still crying because I'm just like, I don't know what to do with myself. And the poor pizza guy was so kind. I think he gave it to me for free. I don't really remember. But I went back in there like 2 days later because this pizza place is right across the street from my house. And he was like, hey, are you okay?
Aw, that's really sweet.
Really sweet. I explained to him. I was like, oh, yeah, last time I was in here, I had just gotten hit by a car. And he was like, oh, my God, what? What are you talking about? Like,
oh, no. Oh, no. That's the correct reaction to having someone tell you that they've been hit by a car. But
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, you poor thing. And then you all, on top of all of this, you still didn't get stamps that day.
No, I didn't get stamps until after Christmas. I went to Spokane and I had to go to Costco with my mother to find stamps.
That's where we also bought our stamps for our Christmas cards. So
yeah.
Good job, Costco. Also, nice work.
Good job, Costco. Stamps are really expensive nowadays.
Yeah. I always forget that part of sending holiday cards. And I have to buy 100 of them, and anything multiplied by 100 is suddenly, it's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah. So anyway, thanks for talking this through with me. I hope people find it helpful. If nothing else, get the driver's information.
Yes. This is also really good stuff for anyone to remember is like who's leading a group ride too.
Yes.
Like if you are someone who can be calm, if you're not the person who's hit, be calm and help the person do all of these things, help them be safe, help them get the info, help them take care of themselves, encourage them to go get checked out, be the voice of reason while their brain is buzzing. A lot of times that can be what kind of pulls a person back down to be grounded in the moment is someone else who's being calm or saying it's okay to fall apart for right now. And then we're going to go get your information, or like just kind of making sure the driver stays, taking pictures of license plates as best you can. If they're not staying, like recording as soon as you can to get all this information. There's a lot you can do as a witness too.
Yes. Yeah. And that's not even if you're on a group ride, if you happen to see somebody, even if they're a total stranger, like pull over and be an advocate, you know, help take care of them and calm them down and do the work of getting the information. You know, if somebody else would have said, hey, I got this guy's info, you don't need to worry about it. But if you want it, here's the info, would have been super, super helpful.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think sometimes as a bystander, you don't know what to do. And so we're sitting here saying one of the great things to do is go over and check them out. Be very kind and say, we got you. What do you need?
Yeah. And I think finally, what I want to leave with is like, do not admit fault. Regardless of, you know, maybe you did accelerate in front of that car, but do not admit fault at any point.
Exactly. Don't do it. I think this is a thing that happens in the moment is everybody wants to try to make everybody else feel less guilty.
Better. Yeah.
Feel better and say, no, no, it's okay. Like, no, you did everything right. And I did it. And as soon as you can, get your brain out of that system.
Yeah.
Get your brain out of saying it happened. Do be neutral about it if you can. It happened. Here's what's next.
Yeah.
I say that as if I could be neutral in this situation, and I'm sure I would be a mess. So.
Well, hopefully after talking this through, in an ideal world, we'll never need to use this skill again, but that's not reality. So now we know what to do.
Thanks
for talking this through with me.
Yeah. Thanks for talking with me. And if anybody in the community wants to share their story, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a DM, comments on Spotify. We want this to be a space for everybody to be able to ride safely, and hearing your stories will help someone know what to do next.
Yep.
Bye, Marley.
Bye, Ellen.